The 2018 Mexican film Roma by writer-director Alfonso Cuarón has been impressing critics and audiences alike and has found itself on the top of numerous best of lists and just won Golden Globes in the directing and best foreign language categories. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Today, we dig a little deeper into Roma with my guest, fellow broadcast film critics member Felipa Solis, who interviewed Roma's writer-director and first-time actress around which the film is built, Yalitza Aparicio. Good morning.
Good morning. It's wonderful to be here. And what a thrill to talk to those two.
I imagine one of my favorite films of the year. You know, this is the awards season, and it's the time that both of our email boxes are filling up with these offers to interview filmmakers. This one came in. I was out of town last week. I'm so glad you took advantage of getting to speak to these two very important people. Before we listen to your conversation with them and their responses, we should probably set up the film for people who haven't seen it.
Exactly. Well, basically, it's Alfonso Cuarón's story, growing up in the Roma district of Mexico. And they were, I guess you could refer to as an upper middle class family. Mm-hmm. And in every household of that genre is that person in that domestic capacity who not only takes care of the household, but takes care of the children. And it's a very poignant story of how this incredible human touched their lives, how her life was touched, tragedy, sadness, but yet in the end, love.
Yeah, it's really a masterpiece, I think, of intimate and autobiographical filmmaking. It's shot in black and white. As you say, it's set in Mexico City, a suburb, in the early 70s. So it's also about the political turmoil that's happening outside this family's gates, but also the turmoil that's happening within the family.
Exactly.
And the rock at the center of it, which is this woman who tirelessly goes about taking care of this family and loves them. And it's something I think resonates not only with people in Mexico, but growing up in the U.S. on this side of the border, it's something that I think a lot of people here in El Paso also really know of, or know someone who grew up with a non-family member that's also kind of family.
It's kind of family, yes. As far as in the Latino culture, Alfonso Cuarón did talk about the fact that the concept of the domestic person, when you think about it, as he thinks about it, as his life grew and changed, how it was not a person that may have been revered by a lot of families just because of the class system that they had.
Right.
And that was another thing that he wanted to show in this film, that these were human beings who sacrificed everything for others, and how this one person changed his life. And he really wanted that to be a very strong message in the film, that the term domestic is not just used freely. This was unfortunately a part of their culture.
And intimately, this woman, Cleo, who is the domestic at the heart of this film, is intimately involved with this family, lives with them, vacations with them, takes care of them, suffers with them, and they with her.
And
it is exactly this unusual dynamic that is explored in this film so beautifully. You spoke with the director. Why don't we roll that? I know you got to speak with him last week before his Golden Globe win. So this
is very exciting.
Alfonso Cuarón.
I think the beauty of this movie and this story is that it's your own.
Well, it's yes, it's my own in many ways. But what has been very gratifying is to confirm that my own experience is an experience that I share with a great amount of other human beings. So many people that come and said, okay, remind me so much of my life. And people from very diverse places in Earth, you know, and it's not about, sometimes not about the specificity of what is going on, but just the emotional flow of life.
That's right. And so many cultures, primarily Latino, having that beautiful human being who stops their life to take care of someone else's, and bringing that to life with an actress who is not experienced, it was like we were living it while we were watching it.
Well, you know, she may not have been experienced, but is one of the best actors I ever worked with. You know, Yalitza is an amazingly intelligent woman, and also has a very, very, very particular sensibility. And everything is very grounded in a very generous heart. I'm very, very happy to see and to feel all the how audiences are embracing Yalitza. But also they are not only embracing but celebrating Yalitza being in mainstream outlets and magazines and Vogue and so on.
Yeah.
Because we're talking about women from indigenous background. Not very often they have a mainstream representation. And very often also is the case that the representation had been not very respectful. You know, so I'm very happy for that.
You changed that as a film lover, a film critic, whatever it is. It's very appreciated. Even watching the film, of course, I am indeed fluent in Spanish as a Latina, but I had to read the subtitles when she spoke in her native language, Mixteca, and that was almost an honor to be able to hear in a film made in 2018.
Well, yeah, and it's so sad that we have to wait. I mean, and as a Mexican filmmaker, it's so sad that I don't think it's very often that you see a Mexican film honoring the original languages from Mexico that are widely spoken in Mexico. And it's as if we're hiding all of that stuff. But same as these characters, they've been invisible. And in the representation in Mexican cinema of domestic workers, for instance, is really atrocious in general. And the representation of characters from an indigenous background in Mexican cinema, it tends to be very atrocious as well, historically. You know, things are changing a lot, but what is sad is it took so long for that.
Yes, but it's unbelievable. We see this film. It's, as you say, this incredible, beautiful actress is being embraced. Your film, your story is being embraced. There are awards. There are so many things. When you were writing this down, did you expect any of this to be happening right now?
Not at all. You know, I would be shooting and I would be talking with Carlos Cuarón, my brother, who wrote it to Mama Tambien. And I would say, you know, this story is so, so specific that I'm doing it because I need to do it. And maybe it's an indulgence, but I know that nobody's going to see or care about this film. You know, so I'm very happily surprised.
Well, you've made life better for us in 2018. As a foreign film, we know it will win. We hope it wins every award. Alfonso Cuarón, what an honor it is for me to speak with you tonight. Thank you so much for this opportunity. Muchísimas gracias con todo mi corazón.
Muchas gracias, Felipa.
Certainly a labor of love for the director, writer, cinematographer, editor. Alfonso Cuarón is all over this film. It is his film.
Absolutely.
And it's amazing how far it's gone. And we should mention it's on Netflix. This was a Netflix original production, so people can watch it now. They don't have to.
Absolutely.
Wait.
But what's interesting about this whole genre of Netflix being now major motion pictures, you have to see a film like this on the big screen. You
yes.
absolutely do, because the nuances, like you mentioned, his cinematography, that's absolutely exquisite. And it's his voice. It's not, I've got a script. This is my story that I'm telling through this beautiful film. And that was the one thing he said, was that in talking to his brother, the great writer Carlos Cuarón from Y Tu Mama También, that he said, this is never going to go anywhere. This is not going to be a success. This is my story. This is kind of a labor of love vanity project that I want to bring to life. And he had no idea that it would come to this point and that this actress who he just basically discovered, who was not an actress.
Right. Not a professional actress. Let's talk about Yalitza Aparicio, because you interviewed her also this
yes.
week.
In Spanish.
In Spanish, which we're going to run in just a moment. But you talked about a lot of things, how she found the role through a open casting call, her being indigenous.
Exactly. She's from the state of Oaxaca. And that was one of the things with respect to Mr. Cuarón's gift of this film, was to show that in Mexican cinema, the use of indigenous language is not seen. Y Tu Mama También was one of the first that explored the Mixteco language. And in this film, we discussed how, as a Latina woman, oh, yes, I don't need subtitles, but I did need subtitles at that point where she is talking to friends and family in her native indigenous language. This is new in Mexican cinema. So he's changed the way films are being watched from the Netflix concepts to Mexican cinema to the discussion of class system that is so very relevant and powerful in his culture.
A lot of boundaries being broken. Let's hear from Yalitza Aparicio.
I met him in a casting. When I met him, I didn't know who he was, nor his trajectory. So when we met, it was a wonderful experience because I felt like I knew him from years ago. And we chatted like best friends who were just catching up. Originally, I am from the city of Tlaxiaco in Oaxaca. The native language we speak back home is Mixteco. It's some of the heritage of a region, and it is such a privilege to share it with the rest of the world. It's wonderful because we are sharing a part of our culture in this movie. If the opportunity presents itself, I would love to share more stories like this. They are welcome. And if not, I am very happy with the profession I chose because I love education. Thank you. It is an honor to be having these opportunities that I never imagined. And I hope that I am an example to other people who dream with being in a movie, in a cover magazine, whatever they wish for, that there are no limits. Well, the movie carries out so many messages, and I think it's amazing that people give themselves a chance to catch the movie again and again and discover the messages that the movie portrays. And by watching it once, you cannot see. We will see the turnout. And for us to be nominated, I already think it's a huge step. Thank you.
As she mentions, it's been an incredible ride, just as the writer-director Alfonso Cuarón, who's really a veteran of cinema, has been surprised with how many best-of lists this film, Roma, has been finding itself on. She's now splashed across the pages of Vogue and is herself being nominated and in this incredible turn just from going out to this casting call.
And she's very thrilled about what she's been able to accomplish, but she says this may be her last movie or maybe she'll do more if she can do movies of this genre with this kind of a message of her people. Then she's interested. If not, her goal in life is to be an educator. So this is quite the ride that she wasn't expecting. She basically told me that the sky's the limit. When you have a dream, go for it, because you never know from one minute to the next what's going to happen in your career, in your life. And this, of course, seeing her face on the page of Vogue magazine is a thrill. And it was a tremendous thrill for Alfonso Cuarón to be able to see her develop into this incredible actress who, as you said, Chuck, she is this movie.
I was a little worried when I saw it, and we saw this film months ago,
yes,
when it was just being promoted for award season, but I was really taken with it, and it is one of my favorite films of the year, and of the films that are getting nominated, I think it is the best picture this year. But I was worried back then that its story would not have quite the universal appeal that it turns out it has. I'm so happy to see,
yes,
that happening, that people who are not on the border, who are not from Mexico, who don't know this culture. There's been a little pushback about the erasure of indigenous culture in the film, or the perception of that. But I think it's misplaced, because what he's done here is really shown when these young women move into these families, mm-hmm, what they give up, but also what they gain, and also this unusual status they find where they're not quite family. They are loved. They love, but they're not blood relatives. And there's this very fascinating line that he goes back and forth across between servitude and familialness.
Familialness, exactly. And that was what he was trying to show. It was more about truth than trying to portray some sort of, well, look, you know, at this power. No, this is the truth. This is what it was. And that's what he wanted to convey in this film. And that's what's so important, is that it's never been seen in Mexican cinema before. And this movie is art. It's like watching a Fellini. It's foreign, but it's real. My only concern always was the Netflix scenario. But
right,
Roma will win big.
see it on the biggest screen you can find.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much, Filippo, for sharing your interviews with Alfonso Cuarón and Yalitza Aparicio. We'll see where this goes.
We'll see where this goes, and appreciate you having me here. It was an honor to talk to them, and it's always an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you. I've been discussing the 2018 Mexican film Roma with fellow Broadcast Film Critics member Felipa Solis, who interviewed Roma's writer-director Alfonso Cuarón and star Yalitza Aparicio earlier this week. Roma has a unique distinction of being both a Netflix original production, which had a limited theatrical release, and is in the running for Best Foreign Language Film and Best Picture at Sunday's Critics' Choice Awards. I'll be attending the 24th Annual Critics' Choice Awards in Los Angeles, and you can tune in to the live telecast tomorrow on the WB Network from 5 to 8 p.m. For a complete list of film and television nominees, log on to CriticsChoice.com. On Film's engineer is Seth Van Meter. Thanks to Michelle Ronquillo for helping with translation today. An archive of past programs is available online at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.